Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Powerfully You with your hosts Dave and Linda McDowell.
Good morning. We are in Nashville, and we have another truly wonderfully beautiful day. Temperature is my favorite, which is a little cool for Linda. But anyway, let me see if I can start this introduction, which will be a little disjointed, I think, because it's a little hard to explain. But I'll try. I'm going to use myself as an example, so you guys are going to get to kind of know a little bit more about me in a bad way. Well, I don't know if it's bad.
Or you're just being real.
In fact, the reason we're sharing this is because I think it's probably pretty common, especially among guys, maybe. I'm not sure. But let me see if I can paint the scenario. So this week, without giving away, you know, confidential and embarrassing anybody except me, I had a situation where it's late at night, I'm coming in home, I'm ready to get in the house, get my shoes off, put on my pack clothes, that's what I call them, comfortable clothes. And, you know, and I just want to get it over with. I pull in the driveway and I realize, oh, I had forgotten to do this thing that I had promised I would do. Now I got to get back in the car. I got to drive to the store. In the meantime, this person calls me and says, have you got this thing for me? Now my juices are starting to flow. I'm starting to get irritated and frustrated and angry. And the truth is, and this is where the Lord, I struggle. And I will tell you, I have learned to have a temper, and I'm trying to unlearn to have a temper. And when my temper really bites me is when I'm extremely selfish about my schedule or about what I want to do, and something has interfered with what I want to do. And it can be so simple as I want to get in the door and get my shoes off and get comfortable. Now I'm running around from store to store, and someone is calling me, and I'm waiting on them, and they're waiting on me, and the frustration mounts, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And quite honestly, I did not deal with it well. I was extremely selfish. And so when I get in, back to the house, and I'm finally trying to get all this worked out, and I get it all straightened out, and I'm irritated, and I'm angry, and I walk into the bedroom, and my dear poor wife goes, what's the matter? What's up? And all I do is hold up my hand. You know, how you have speak to the hand. That's kind of what it looked like, except only my look was, don't ask, which was pretty darn rude, right? Linda?
Yeah.
That was where and the reason I do that is because I know I am in not a good spot and that I don't want anybody talking to me. I don't want to talk to anybody because all that's going to come out is poison. And that's the honest truth. And I'm not excusing that. I'm not saying, in fact, the whole reason I'm having this show is to share what happens for me. And I'm wondering and thinking maybe there are others. So, but that's not the, that's all the setup to what I call the martyr syndrome. And so I go back to my office, I close the door, and I start thinking, they're going to interfere with my schedule. I'll just work all night. I'll show them how dedicated and all this stuff, and, you know, and all the whole world is against me. And, you know, it's just the martyr. I call it the martyr syndrome. I think it may be more prevalent in the South than it is other places. I don't know, because we're taught that we're always supposed to do what's best for everybody else, da-da-da-da-da. But that's not the real culprit. The real culprit is my personal upbringing, where I was taught that Christians give up everything for everybody else. And there are people in my life who have been the champion martyrs. And what it is it's like, okay, you know, well, I'll use an example that I gave to Linda last night as we talked about this. If anybody is a fan like I am of the movie The Christmas Story, and it's a good time of year to bring this up, there's a particular sequence in that movie where the star of the movie, Ralphie, I think his name, he says something he wasn't supposed to say. He uses the F word. And, you know, and his mom takes him home, you know, dad takes him home, tells his mom what he said, you know. Next thing you know, I've had this, actually. The next thing you know, he's in the bathroom with the mom washing out his mouth with soap, right? And you can see he goes through the sequence. In fact, there's a little dream sequence. They set it up, you know. He says, well, I'll show them. I'll just go blind from soap poisoning or something, and then they'll feel bad for me. That's the martyr syndrome. You know, where I'm going, well, I'll just work all night, and, you know, and then tomorrow I'm going to work all day tomorrow, and I'm going to work on the business and this and this, and then they'll feel bad for me. Well, how dumb is that? I'm sorry, but I'm just calling it because this one's on me, so I can do it. The martyr syndrome is a lose-lose for everybody. And Linda is kind of going to help me give the other side, so to speak, because she's had a lot of experience with other people manipulating her with this. You want to jump in here?
Yeah, and I'm trying to be careful, too, and not exposing people, but just saying that, you know, probably for you, maybe in your culture, whatever, your family culture, I'll say I don't feel like it's like a culture kind of thing. I think it's a family culture.
Human nature.
And kind of like a human nature kind of thing. And it's the same thing, you know, I grew up pretty much in a very dysfunctional family, which I feel like a lot of America has grown up in that. And so I was kind of the one who rescued people or who allowed myself to be manipulated in a lot of situations because I felt bad for the situations of different people. So after you have years of that, and I'm talking years, maybe 30, 40 years of that, I kind of reached another place where, you know, not saying that that is good or bad, where when people kind of come up with that, I feel like the base of that is manipulation. You know, if you don't do what I want you to do or act the way I want you to do, then I'm going to do this so that you can do that.
And Linda, don't play that game.
Only because I've had years of somebody, you know, placing me in different places and manipulating me. And so it just doesn't work for me anymore.
Yeah, which is a good thing for me.
For either one of us, I don't know if my attitude is the best for it.
Nah, it's fine. I mean, because Linda isn't ugly or mean. She just looks me in the eye and kind of calls me on it and says, in fact, she has said, well, look, if you want to be the martyr, you go ahead, but this isn't going to change my life. And that, and, you know, of course, when I hear that, I'm irritated until I think it through and realize, yeah, this is silly. And what I'm trying to share with folks is, first, define what this is. And what it is it's manipulation. And now I'm trying to make everybody feel sorry for me. Not only that, and this is what I learned from others as I grew up, not only do I make them try to feel sorry for me, I try to get them to think, like, oh, what a wonderful guy he is because he's doing all these things. And the truth is, most people are looking at you going, what a nut. You know, they see you all this. They don't, you know. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the martyr syndrome has significant ramifications if you keep practicing it. Let me explain. And I have seen this firsthand. You continue to be the martyr. You continue to choose to act like a martyr. And yet your heart isn't a martyr's heart. And we'll explain that in a moment. What happens is you begin to be resentful. You begin to be bitter. You begin to think, I'm always, you know, like you're the one who's lost everything. Does that make sense? Am I saying that well?
You get that. You start to get that victim mentality. Well, you know, I don't know if somebody, other people believe this or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But it's biblical in that. And I don't think people always see the things with that, that we wrestle not a bit against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits. So to me, there are spiritual attacks that can come to you. Manipulation is a spirit.
I agree.
You know, even the selfishness and anger are spiritual attacks. And so sometimes the best thing you can do when you're being attacked by these spiritual things is to just sit for a minute and recognize the attack.
Amen.
You know, and that's for all of us. And a lot of people don't believe in, you know, spiritual attacks or whatever, and that's your thing. You don't have to. But these emotions are real, even if you don't believe in spiritual. But manipulation, anger, some of it is depression. And these, they start to pile up because in the end, you're not getting what you need or want.
Amen.
So they just start to pile up because they bring on more emotions because the base emotion, I'm not getting what I want, isn't fed.
Yeah, and what a perfect description of what happened to me. So my flesh, me, I don't need any help to see it. I can do that all by myself. So already I'm not walking in the spirit. And we'll have a show on that one day about what that really means. But I have already given in to my flesh. Well, our enemy watches. He watches and he recognizes, and he's had lots and lots of experience of deciphering human personalities, so to speak, and mine in particular. He knows me. And he goes, we got him now. You know, and then he starts just kind of fanning the flames with ideas and thoughts. And yes, absolutely. He begins to send his spirits of manipulation, et cetera, selfishness, all kinds of things. And just, you know, and it's like throwing gasoline on a fire, you know.
And so when you can stop for a minute, and I always say that, take some deep breath, because when you take some deep breath, it's sort of like how the car goes, recalculating when you've gotten off track. You have to take those deep breaths just to start to recalculate your brain.
You're talking about the
and
GPS.
Recognize.
Yeah,
the GPS starts saying, recalculate when you've gone off track or you've gone the wrong way. Sometimes taking some deep breaths, and this is just, you know, kind of bringing in the counseling thing, allows you to refocus and recognize. The first thing you need to do is recognize this is not me.
Well, I have to recognize it's not the me I want to be.
Well, it's not you.
Well,
so a lot of times
you're
right.
Say, right. I'm a new man.
God made us a new creature in Him, so we don't have to own those type of emotions. We don't have to own bitterness, anger, or whatever, because sometimes we own it when we say, like, my family does this, I do this, this is who I am. No, it's not. That's not who God made you to be. So first of all, recognize the emotion, and two, don't own it.
And once again, you're the perfect leading segue because I will use, again, I will use myself as an example. That's exactly what I did. Now, unfortunately, it was an hour, but eventually I stopped. And, of course, the whole time our enemy's attacking, my loving Savior and my Holy Spirit are going, Dave. You know, and finally I go, okay. And I stop and I go, Lord, what's wrong? Help me. And he comes in and says, you're being selfish. Yes, I understand. I'm sorry. Now, I don't wallow in that. You know, and we've talked about that too. The conviction of God is gentle. It really is. He's not trying to beat you up. He's trying to help you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, and I examine and I diagnose and I go, okay, enough. And I put away the martyr syndrome and I run it off, you know, and I go, nope, we're not going to the martyr. First of all, who wants to work all night? Who wants to sacrifice their Saturday? All just to make everybody feel sorry for them. And most of the time, nobody's going to feel sorry for you, and you're just going to be even more frustrated and bitter and angry. And
that
so, fortunately, before the night was up, we talked about it the next morning because it was late at night and I didn't want to disturb Linda. I had confessed and moved on. And you have to do that. You can't keep beating. The flip side is don't beat yourself up.
No, and I
think, and stay there.
Right. I think those are the things that, and I, you even bring it back, you know, confess your sin one to the other. And then don't stay in that place. And I'm so glad that you didn't. It does matter in a sense if you hold this. I think that we're out of the spirit when we hold on to anger or frustration for days on end. But when, as soon as you can break that cycle, then the Holy Spirit can just, you know, calm and make you have a peaceful spirit about the whole situation.
Right.
So it's just really recognizing it and breaking the cycle.
Well, the whole thing is, I mean, really, when it gets right down to it, I know I'm not right. And I don't mean right in the sense of right, wrong. I just know I'm not where the pipe, as I call it, between me and God, the funnel, the channel, whatever, has been stopped up and clogged up with my anger, my selfishness, and my martyrdom. And I feel it. You know, I feel this separation in my spirit between myself and the Lord. And I don't want to stay there because it is not a fun place to be. And it will just continue to spiral downward over time if you stay there long enough.
And I feel like we all have the propensity to get there, you know, when you are frustrated about something or whatever, you haven't got your way. Maybe you haven't been recognized. A lot of it is you're not recognizing.
Good.
So once you have, when you base it all down, it's really kind of ego a little bit.
Oh, not a little bit. For me, it's ego a lot.
And so to me, ego is edging God out. That's how I...
Oh, I love that. I've never heard that.
Ego, yeah. And it's not a term I've coined, but I've read it. But ego is edging God out when you, it's me. You didn't recognize
me.
You didn't do this, da 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 da. And we're all, think about it. You know, when you're in on your job and you thought you did something great, nobody, you know, recognized it or whatever. We all suffer from that.
Sure.
But it's that spirit of offense, then you take offense because nobody recognized all the things that you have done. But, you know, sometimes I feel like as Christians, in order to change the world, a lot of good things that we do won't be recognized by men, but God sees those good things.
I'm glad that, again, you've led in perfectly. First of all, again, using my example Friday night, absolutely. What do you mean? Do you not understand how much trouble this is? Do you know how you do you not understand that you're impositioning me? And da, da, da. Now, those are all going through my head. I'm not saying them out loud because if I said them out loud, I'd look bad. Now,
right.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to look bad.
But so sometimes those things are true. I hate to say it, but there are occasions when those things are true. But it's that time when you can recognize that I don't have, God recognizes the good that I do.
And that's all, and he's, and his opinion is the only one that really matters.
Right.
I use that term too. It just helps me when I realize, you know what? There's only one opinion that matters, and that's God's. And if my boss doesn't recognize me or my coworkers or my wife.
Or your family doesn't
you know,
recognize
you. Know, So now that's a perfect lead-in to there is a true martyr, And it's not bad. And if you don't believe it, look at Jesus. If the chief of all martyrs was Jesus. And we tend to think of martyrs because we've had this cultural thing where if you're a martyr, you know.
There's a balance there.
Yes.
He was martyr in the sense that it was not all about him.
No.
That's the difference between a martyr that is using this for manipulation, because it is, all the cycle boils down to, it's all about me. Jesus, or those, you know, the little girl in the school shooting, I can't think of it, where the guy asked, are you a Christian? That was martyrdom that was not about her.
Right.
It was standing up for what you believe, and it was for the good of others as well as Jesus.
And
what he did was a sacrifice, right, for the good of others. So that's the difference in the martyrdom syndrome if you're using it to,
well,
when it's all
not,
about you at the base of it.
That is not the martyr syndrome. That is true martyrdom.
Yes.
And so it's all about heart. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus chose to martyr himself for us. So he chose because he wanted to. Not that he looked forward to it, not that he was enjoying it, but for me, he said, I will do this for Dad. I will do this for Linda. I will do this for the world. And so when that is right, there is a place. But you don't end up being angry and bitter and resentful. Let me give you an example. The Sunday school teacher. I'm just taking one. Now, and I've been on both sides of this fence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, fine. You can't find anybody else. I'll do it. That's a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it what it is. That's a martyr. I've done it. And you know what? I ended up resenting having to do the study. I ended up resenting trying to control 12 and 13-year-olds in a classroom where they really didn't want to hear what I had to say, and so on and so on and so on. Right?
Well, and I think that the difference also is about, you know, when you give from your heart, it's beyond what somebody will see or recognize. You're giving from your heart. When you give as a martyr, it's back there to that recognition. You're not giving because it's from your heart. You're giving to be recognized.
Again, let's be careful. Martyrs are not bad.
Depending
on your heart.
That's what I just said. It is on your heart, because sometimes if you're giving because you really want to be recognized, it's not from your heart.
Right.
Oh. You want the recognition.
You want somebody to pat you on the back.
And then when you don't get it, then you're feeling mad and resentful or whatever. That is not giving from your heart.
Right.
So
I'm going to give just the opposite. Many years later, I won't say how many, I was attending a church in Selma, Alabama, and they didn't even meet before the church, quote, the sanctuary meeting. Well, I'm an old Sunday school guy, right at Sunday school. So, you know, I went to the bishop of this church, and I said, let's do a Bible study. And he said, yeah, Daddy, great. And I did that Bible study for like 2 years.
Honestly.
Some Sundays, there were two people, me and maybe one other. Other Sundays, there might be five, and every once in a while, there might be as many as 12. And what the Lord taught me in that was, doesn't matter. If you're doesn't it for the right reason, doesn't matter who shows up. Doesn't matter how many show up. Doesn't matter if they get it or don't get it or say you're a good teacher or a bad teacher. And I learned so much from that Bible study because I spent time in the Word preparing, and I taught that study as if there were 100 people in there. Because I wanted to. Now, was it sometimes took a little discipline? And sometimes did I not want to study because I wanted to go watch a football game or something? Yeah. But that was good martyrdom. And I say martyr, I mean, big deal. I taught a Sunday school class. It's not really, not a martyr. But the attitude was right and good.
I don't know if that was martyrdom. That was service.
Okay, service. There you go.
Yeah, because really when you're doing it in service, you don't have to name it being a martyr or anything. It's just doing, you know, sometimes we want to feel like we're doing something, and we are sometimes some extraordinary things, but really it is, you know, we're called to do these reasonable things that are reasonable service.
Yep.
And so when you look at when you're in, like this radio program, you know, sometimes it may have two listeners, and that is not the point. The point is that I feel like God has called us to do this radio program, and whether we have one listener or 20, and I was beat up about that because I've had this radio program on and off for the last 6 years. So when I first started, selfishly, just like anybody else,
where's all the listeners?
Where's all the listeners? And I don't have very many listeners, and I'm putting them in. And then the Lord said to me, this is for you. I am building you up. So if you have zero listeners or one, I want you to get on here, say what you have to say or what the Spirit has told you to say, and keep going. Do not be connected to the number.
We had a program that don't be connected to the results.
Right. So it was, and that didn't happen to me right away. I'm going to tell you, because my ego was involved in that. Because I still, even after I got that word from the Lord, will look and see. Dang. What did I tell you? Do not be connected to the numbers.
I had to learn that.
He was teaching me discipline about being here every Sunday, no matter what. I had to do a little bit of preparation and background when I first started.
And then you had to listen and think.
Right.
In the Spirit to give good quality content. And I think we do.
Right.
But, yeah, that's
it
perfect.
It was a preparation for me. And not that I do feel like, you know, the listeners did come, but really I know that he was preparing me to be able to defend my faith in season and out of season. Because sometimes I would get a caller, like I got a caller before that was an atheist, talking about throwing, you know, off of your prepared little program.
Yeah,
when you have to, on the spot, defend.
Wait a minute. Prepared program?
Yeah, we don't have that now.
We're laughing.
We have a
topic that we've talked about during the week, and then we kind of come in and we wing it. And the reason we did that is because we are the average, I believe.
Right.
I don't think we're exceptional.
No.
And we've talked about this. You know, sometimes we feel like we should change the title of this program to The View from the Pew, because we're not big spiritual leaders.
No. And really, when I started this program, I had never done this before. So I would come a little bit more prepared because it hasn't, you know, I hadn't done it. And which probably, if some people listen to this, might think, you guys might want to go back to that. But so now we just kind of get a topic and we wing it.
And we think about it.
We mull it over.
We, you know, give it a good go over. But there's not a lot of prep. And we do that on purpose.
Yeah.
And here's the purpose. Because we trust that the Holy Spirit will come with us, prompt us, lead us, guide us. And then Linda and I bounce off each other pretty well, I think.
We do.
And we both, we're different personalities. We're different people. We a lot of times have the yin and the yang,
if I can
use that word.
And, you know, really, I'll give it to you because, like, when you started the program, you pretty much started with winging it. I don't know if I could have done that when I started the program, you know, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago.
I took it up.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yeah.
So, boy, and because of that, sometimes we go all over the world.
We do.
And
so
we
bring it back home. And bringing it back home now.
Yes, we're trying to get back. So, it comes back to, and I just feel like I need to say this because it's a hard lesson learned. Be careful what you choose to do. And I don't mean careful in a sense. There are some things that you will never, ever be wrong in doing.
Mm-hmm.
Feeding the poor, caring for the sick, visiting those in prison. I mean, Jesus named them.
Right.
And you will never go wrong choosing. No. And sometimes those are big sacrifices. But let me give you an example. If you're in a church body and somebody in leadership comes to you and says, oh, we got to have a teacher in this role at this time, et cetera, et cetera. Pray about it and think about it. Don't just say yes because somebody has to fill a spot. And the reason is because if you're not called, if that's not something that God is calling you to do, you're going to struggle. You're going to end up being a little resentful, et cetera, et cetera.
And there's a balance.
There is a balance
there. Sometimes I think God calls us because it could be something like, I don't even know I could do that. That ain't me. I've never done that before. Don't be afraid. This is the balance. Don't be afraid that sometimes God is stretching you out of your comfort zone to bring up gifts from you that maybe you didn't even know you had. So, you know, weigh that out. But the good thing, like you said, is always check with God. Pray about things. The other thing is check your heart. And the Bible says guard your heart with all diligence. Because a lot of times if your heart isn't good about this, then your attitude will not follow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that takes practice, folks. I mean, I think it does. It has for me. And you get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get better at saying no. And sometimes the answer is no.
And it is. And my mom used to say, honey, baby, no is a grace word sometimes. And you know what? It is so true. No is sometimes a grace word. We get so busy and we feel like we have to commit to everything. If somebody asks us, especially if a spiritual leader or somebody in leadership asks us, but if it is not your talent, truly it isn't. You've prayed about it and you don't have peace in your spirit about that, then do not be afraid to say no. God will provide for your church, for everything. There will be somebody there that has that gift or talent that maybe hasn't, you know, come out or hasn't, that gift is not recognized yet.
And then I've also done this, and I don't think this is wrong, where you say to this person, okay, I understand that you really, really need somebody in this position. I will help you out until you find somebody else because this is not my calling.
And I think that's a beautiful way to do it because maybe you know that I'm in this spot for time or a season. You're helping them out and you're doing things. So, you know, bringing it back home with the whole syndrome, maybe that is the thing that sometimes we can't say no to people. And, you know, sometimes saying no to someone you love or whatever is very, very difficult. It's confrontational. So you go out of your way for this person when maybe all you had to do was say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now.
And if you don't say no when it's time to say no, then you become the martyr.
Right.
And you become resentful, and you wonder why everybody's not patting you on the back. And you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, frankly. You know, now don't, like I said, don't misunderstand. There are some things, you know, there were times when at various churches, someone would ask me, you know, hey, would you be willing to help out here? And I would say yes, because it was either a short time or it was something almost physical. It wasn't really even a spiritual thing. Is that, can you be here early and open the doors?
Yeah.
You know, can you give so-and-so a ride?
Yeah.
See, those are no-brainers. Those are service things.
And that's the thing about, you know, when you're doing something in service, it's from the heart.
Right.
Yes, I can do that. It may be a minor inconvenience or whatever.
Right.
But it's the thing that when your heart or when your flesh takes over and you recognize you become angry because somebody asked you to do that. Okay, let's take somebody asked you. If they ask you to give Sister so-and-so who's elderly a ride, most of us will not mind that because maybe it's momentarily out of their way. If your pastor asks you to clean the bathroom.
Right. Are you too good?
You could be. And I would have to fight with that ego with that. I'm going to be honest myself. Clean the bathroom, you know, the service, which could probably take less time than picking up Sister so-and-so, really,
right,
if you think about it. But it's the content of that. Are you willing to do that kind of service? And so probably if you have to struggle with yourself to do that, then you have to weigh, what is it? Is this my ego? I feel like I'm too good to clean the bathroom. I feel like that's beneath me to go clean the bathroom. And you might, you know, have to, sometimes you may have to work through your offense to bring it back to, because sometimes you become offended, and because you become offended, then these other pile of emotions start to come up.
Well, I'm going to share this example, not to make me look good. I promise you it's not, but it's an illustration, and I think it's a good one. I volunteered to pick this person up, and I won't go into details because we don't need to, and get them to church on every Sunday morning. Well, this person had a reputation for being ornery, for lack of a better word. And sure enough, no matter, and I not only would I pick this person up, but I chose to pick them up and take them to breakfast. Because, you know, I'm thinking, well, they don't do that a lot. They don't have the opportunity. There was not a lot of gratefulness in this person. Breakfast was never good enough. You know, there was always a complaint, da-da-da, whatever, you know. And so I was at church one day, and one of the people in my church came to me and says, Dave, how do you put up with this? And I looked at him, and it was a good statement for me. Obviously, I remember it. And I looked at him. I said, because it's not about her. I serve God. And he's pleased with what I'm doing, whether she is or isn't. And that's really what it's all about, you know. And so the ego thing is just rampant through here. You know, like you said, let's say you're in a church and the pastor comes to you and says, hey, I can tell you have great Bible knowledge. And he feeds your little ego and goes, no, so I really want you to lead this or do that or whatever. And now we're in that, and secretly in our hearts we're going, yeah, I'll get patted on the back. And that's what we have to watch. And that's what I have to watch. And I have to, you know, and there's a balance here that just comes with maturity.
It is. And some of it is just, no, I feel like some of it just comes with asking the right questions. Why am I doing this?
Right. Yeah.
Am I doing it because I'm called to do this and it's in service? Because if it's in service and my heart is right about that, whether you get the recognition or not, if nobody ever says you did a good job, could you still do it? Is it still worth the service? And I feel like that, yeah, I guess you're right. It does take a matter of growth there.
Yeah.
But it's growth we all have to go through.
And I would say to folks who are maybe young in age or young in the spirit or still learn, if you're, you know, find a good, solid, someone that you know is mature in the Lord and ask them to help you. You know, ask them, what do you think? You know, I do this. I have this group of men that, man, you know, I will talk things over with them. And I mean, it can be spiritual, it can be financial, but I mean, I trust these men that tell me the truth. Even if I don't want to hear it, you know, they'll tell me what's real, and then I can make better decisions. So if you need a spiritual mentor, find one. But and we'd be happy to help you at least hear anybody call it in or sending us a note. We'd be more than happy to maybe try to help you with that. That's part of what we want to do. It's part of what we do, and Linda does professionally. So we're here for you if you need that. But you probably need some good, strong, I call them accountability, but they're also advisors and consultants and counselors, you know. Find those people, but, you know, and have two or three of them if you can. I'm fortunate. I got four or five.
And I think the other thing is, it's always a good thing. It's great to have those spiritual advisors, but it's always great to balance that with the Word of God, because the Word will always direct you in the path that you need to go. And then the next thing is to to take the time to listen to, because that builds your relationship with God. When you also go to God and say, because sometimes we can get so, I think it's good to have spiritual mentors. I really do. And those people that you can bounce off, to me, that is an essential part. But also don't negate the growth in listening for God. God, what are you saying about that? I feel like I grew the most. I never really had a bunch of spiritual mentors, and I don't think it's I feel like halfway, you know, one way or the other. I do feel like it's a beautiful thing to have that relationship, but sometimes you can get lost in that. So don't negate the growth you can get by going to God yourself and listening to His response.
Amen. These people are not, they shouldn't be your crutch.
Right. Because sometimes people can get there.
People that you want to hear their viewpoint and then take that to the Lord.
Well,
you know,
I think you confirm what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
You know, you can have gone in prayer and heard God give you this word and then talk it over with your mentors, because they will confirm. If it's true and it's right, a lot of times they'll confirm what the Holy Spirit is telling you.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Or at least help you see it.
Sometimes you got to go against the grain with people. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a whole nother program. Listening to God. So I'll try to remember to write that down.
That is another program. But basically, I just feel like that takes, it's not for me, it wasn't a skill that I just had.
Well,
when I first became a Christian, I had to develop that and don't negate that growth in going in prayer and in listening to what you feel God is telling you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I'm sure at the time that you were stepping out as a Christian, so to speak, in the Muslim nation, but that it was not comfortable and it was hard. But, yeah, God said He kind of put you in a place where you didn't have anybody to go to but Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, sometimes that's the best place to be. It's hard. It's a little scary, you know. But sometimes that's how we learn to hear you.
That is how I learned to hear. I would have loved, trust me, I would have loved to have spiritual mentors that I could have gone to and say, what do you think? This is what I'm about to do. What do you think about
you
that?
I
didn't have anybody to go to, but I did learn to depend on God, hear His voice. And I wouldn't have learned that maybe for me. And I feel like God knows how we each need to grow. And I feel like that was the way He knew I needed to grow.
And it's, you are much further, and we'll just call it down the path, than you would have been if someone had spoon-fed you.
I think so.
To some degree.
Yeah.
You were in your own school.
At the time, in the school of hard knocks.
The school of one student.
Yeah.
Andrew Murray. I'm going to do a name drop here. Andrew Murray is a great, great spiritual writer, author, whatever. He has a book called In the School of Prayer.
Mm.
And it kind of talks about learning to pray and learning to how to the interaction and so on and so on. I highly recommend. In fact, I don't think about it. I'd like to read it again.
I would like to read that.
It's fantastic. It really is a great, great book, a classic in spiritual books, whatever that term is. I'm trying not to just spill time here.
Yeah, and sometimes we can.
Have we beat this?
I think we addressed it. Addressed it. Just recapping, when you get into that place where we call the martyrdom syndrome, when really what you're doing is doing something for the recognition of yourself, or you've gotten in that place where your flesh has pretty much taken over your decision-making. These are the things that we suggest that you do. We all get there. We all have had those periods. One, take a breath and then, you know, talk to God and listen. That's the step I feel like we missed. Lord, I'm not feeling right. What's going on here? Holy Spirit, guide me through this. Show me where I am in my emotions. And then I do think a good thing is that you do spend some time alone, kind of recalculating, as I call it, like you've gotten off track. So I'm recalculating, spend some time alone to get yourself together, turn the situation around, recognize, acknowledge that you're in your mess right now. Lord, help me get through this. And then go forth. Forgive yourself and go forth. Did you have any other things?
I'm just going to emphasize what you just said, because that's exactly what I had to do Friday night. Now, unfortunately, it was about an hour too late.
But you did.
But I did have to stop and go, wait a minute. Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go down this path. I've been down this path way too many times, and the end of the path is never a joyful destination. So, Lord, I'm sorry. I recognize I've been in the spirit. I recognize I've been selfish, and I've reacted poorly. I'm sorry. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
It's
don't
over.
Wallow in it.
Right.
Now, if you need to make something right, like go to your wife the next morning and say, I'm sorry.
Do that.
I'm going to do the same thing the next opportunity I have for the person who was asking me to do something for them, and I was ugly, just flat out ugly. So that's
the, and then it's done. Because just like once you've confessed your sin, you've acknowledged what it is. He is faithful and just to forgive us. So then you have to let it go too,
mm-hmm.
and move on. Hopefully, through that experience, you've learned something. You've learned how to stop the cycle before it gets too bad. You cut it off right at the root of it, and then you can move on. And I will say, honey, I think that because I don't know if I would acknowledge that I was such a.
No, we're going to be transparent.
So
I'm going to be transparent.
And I think that I am pretty much, but I don't know if I would acknowledge that. I might have acknowledged it to you, but I don't know if I would have done it on the radio.
The world.
To the world. Yeah, to our million listeners.
No, I'm doing it.
And I'm proud of you
for
that.
People to know, first of all,
we're real people. I love this.
We are special only in Christ.
Only in Christ, yeah.
And also, because the whole intent of this podcast
mm-hmm.
is to help people. Well, sometimes you have to identify with them to help them.
Right.
And they have to be able to identify with you to receive the help.
That
so I'm sharing
true.
With you guys, I'm a human being. This is one of my weaknesses. I'm working on it, and I'm asking the Lord to change my heart and transform me so that this isn't the biggest struggle. And here's the good news. It isn't the struggle it used to be.
And that's a beautiful thing.
It is far and few between when this hits me like this now. But it does. And I will tell you something else that the Lord has always done when I've struggled like this is when it's all over, a lot of times I'll have a laugh about it because it's so silly. And I will realize, and the Holy Spirit will see kind of take and put his arm around my shoulder and said, see, without me, you're still the same old rotten sick guy you've always been. And it reminds me that I must always, I want to always be walking in the Spirit. You've yielded, unselfish, Christ-like. And,
there's so many of us, me too, that sometimes you don't even acknowledge that you are acting other than how Christ called you to be. Even if you know it, but it's out of embarrassment or you don't want to deal with the situation. So I do feel like that's growth and maturity when you can stop it in its tracks and admit it and turn it around. So,
it's kind of like the alcoholic or anything else. You can't help them until they realize they have a problem.
Right, and that is true.
I have a problem. Lord, help me,
And we all share in, because like you were saying that, probably my biggest problem is after years of being
manipulated
in my family circle, very close family circle, I hate to say, that my heart sometimes becomes cold.
Right.
When I feel that, I have no emotion and just, so I have to, and as I've gotten older because of the things that have happened in my past, one of the things that I have to pray about is more compassion. because it, you know, that my heart can be so cold sometimes. We all have our issues that we have to work on, and I understand now. And today is the day I got the understanding. Guard your heart with all diligence. How important that is.
Yeah. Well, and the heart is deceitful above all things. So, and martyrdom is sneaky, and you will deceive yourself. And, for example, let's go back to the Bible study. Oh, well, you know, I get to stand up in front of X people and show them all my Bible knowledge and how I can use a lexicon and look at the Greek and the Hebrew and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's all ego. It's all ego. And it's not healthy. You know, if you're doing it for that reason, rethink it, folks.
Right.
Rethink it.
And because most of the time, if you think about that, the greatest Bible teachers that I have had, not that I've had, but one of them was in a seminary, was this, he was so unpretentious.
Uh-huh.
But he was this professor that would ask these poignant questions that would be so simple.
Yep.
And it would just kind of like wrap your soul when he asked you those questions. And they weren't anything
deep, so to speak.
No, but they were the questions that made you think.
Again, you know, same thing, whatever the quote service is, just ask yourself, would you do it if nobody else was around?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it if the only person in the room was the Lord? Because that's really what it's all about.
Oh, that is good, yeah.
And I ask myself, and you know, here's the benefit of that, and the Bible study is, I know I spent 2 years in the Gospel of John, which was already my favorite book of the Bible, and now it is like my old friend, and I draw on it regularly. And God gave me that gift of 2 years in that word. And you know what? Again, nobody. I think there was one guy who was consistent in that Bible study. And that's because I picked him up every Sunday morning. And I was like the only way he got to church. So he was kind of captured, you know. There were very few. Now, there were some that were pretty regular. Doesn't matter. I now have a knowledge of the book of John that I call on regularly, you know, and I found some secrets. They were secrets to me in that book that I had never seen and would not have seen any other way than me personally spending time in it. Thank you, Lord. That was a great investment. And that's what happens when you do service in the Spirit. And you benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You come out better, stronger, more mature, whatever the right word is, or even maybe you come out weaker.
Humble.
But you've learned, humble, but you've learned like Paul to say, you know, I cannot do this without Jesus. I cannot do this without God. I cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. And that's a great place to be, to admit that you need help. I have to remind myself every day, every place, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't want to say these things. I don't want to be this way. I don't have this attitude, you know. And so we are bearing our souls, I am, and Linda does too, for your sakes and for our own. Because this is a good lesson for us to be reminded of.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to keep doing this on Sunday mornings. We've now changed it to 8 o'clock Central, and I'm not trying to do a commercial. I'm just trying to let people know that they can pretty well count on that, except for very unusual exceptions, which will happen. And we hope you get something out of it. We pray.
We hope you do. And we do have a Facebook page now for Powerfully You. And if you don't leave a comment on Blog Talk Radio, feel free to leave a comment on
We're still learning.
We're still learning. I don't know how well they're together.
So that there's a consistency and you can go from one place to the other and get what you want and need. We do pray, and I'm saying this out loud, Lord, bless others in this ministry, that they know they have a friend in us who will not judge them, who will not condemn them, and who will come alongside if they will allow us and provide whatever we are capable of providing. But more than anything, we'll pray for them.
We will pray for you.
God is absolutely capable.
Yes. You know,
with or without us.
Right. And, you know, one of our models is for our businesses, come grow with us.
Yes.
We feel like we are growing daily. Sometimes we fall down. But
we're in the lifeboat. We get bailing.
Right. Yes. Falling down, but gotten back up. We've become resilient. So come grow with us.
Good. And that was just a spontaneous Holy Spirit right there.
Right.
We didn't plan that. We don't do commercials usually.
No.
Other than to say we love you,
mm-hmm.
even though we have not met you,
mm-hmm.
we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's going to do through us. And we don't love perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And we get mad when people impose on us and we don't have a right attitude. But we're working on it and we're growing. And come grow with us. As Linda said, come grow with us.
Mm-hmm.
Be our buddy. We'll be your buddy.
There you go. That's all.
We'll be your sister and brother, whatever
right.
the case may be. And we are not afraid to sacrifice our time.
Right.
Not in martyrdom, but because that's what God's called us to do. And we actually enjoy it.
We do.
We love helping and listening and helping people think. We don't provide any answers. Linda, you speak to this.
In what we do for a living, we help you. Usually, you know the answers, and the answers are within you.
We help you reach your
We help you reach those answers by providing maybe a few tools along the way that have helped us. And to really see God, that is the growth. When you see God and hear his voice, you'll get the answer for yourself. Nothing like it. And that I can say, amen.
Amen. Amen with three syllables.
Yeah.
From the South.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got 3 minutes on our old clock. I think it's time to wind it up.
I think so. I have nothing else.
Well, I got two. I'm saying this out loud because now I can go back and listen to our own program. I won't forget it. Listening to God.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in the Spirit. Sounds like we had a couple new programs coming
mm-hmm.
up. What that really means and how that works and
mm-hmm.
practical application. So thank you, God.
Yeah, thank you.
Because that came back to me. So I'll pray this week.
Okay.
I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for holding up the mirror to me and letting me see. Not because you want me to feel bad or guilty or like a worm, but because you want me to grow. Holding up the mirror and go, Dave, this is not okay. Thank you, Lord. I need those times. I gladly accept them. I receive your conviction. Now help me to walk in the Spirit. And I pray this for others, that they will see it's just a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's not beating anybody up. It's our Heavenly Father wanting us to grow. So I pray that you use that mirror. I pray that others will hear you and learn and grow. Lord, I pray for our program.
Yes, Lord.
That it will reach them it needs to reach.
Yes, Lord.
That it will hit a chord for those who need to hear that note.
Yeah.
And I just pray, Lord, that your blessings on this program, not for our sakes, but for your kingdom's sake.
Yeah.
And pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Bye, folks. Have a great
Bye,
Sunday.
Folks.